haunting John Williams, Princess Leia theme music this morning as we remember Carrie Fisher. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 28th of December. It's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll get started and talk about what's going on in the world. Plus, we will include your letters. We love your letters.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Snow is coming.
That's wonderful. Let it snow.
You live here.
You don't have to drive.
You live here. I live there. Yeah. He lives there. The other there.
You're right.
And the two places they say it's most going to come down is Washington County.
And where you guys live.
Yeah. And the Berkshires.
It's all fun. What's a 3-hour commute? Rose Barameo is with us. She is the director of the journalism program at UAlbany.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm saying goodbye to my granddaughter who wanted nothing but snow, and of course it's coming the day she's leaving.
And from southern parts, correct? So
yeah,
not going to get a lot of it, right? Teresa Bourgeois is with us as well. She is a communications consultant and our dear friend, and we're thrilled to have her here.
So thank glad
you
very to be much. Here. Hello,
very
hello.
Nice to have you. Thank you.
May it not snow on your route to work.
I don't know. I was listening to many different forecasts, and I think we'll get in tomorrow. It's getting home, right? Is that the issue?
Yes, but I meant to talk to you about that.
Okay. All right. we'll chat.
Remotely.
Sounds good. That's right. Good morning, and let's talk about what's going on in the world. There's certainly enough to talk about, so we'll begin with an article from the Washington Post, where the Obama administration is close to announcing measures to punish Russia for election interference. The Obama administration says they are close to announcing a series of measures to punish Russia for its interference in the 2016 presidential election, including economic sanctions and diplomatic censure, according to U.S. officials. The administration is finalizing the details, which are also expected to include covert action that will probably involve cyber operations. An announcement on the public elements of the response could come as early as this week.
Well, they better come early before the new guy gets in. And that it seems to me, is one of the things that is going on. Not only is he waging war, the president, the current president, with Putin, but he's also, in a way, telling off the president-elect and creating, a little bit of a firestorm, I'm sure, because if he puts these things into place and then Trump comes into office, he even looks worse in my mind if it turns out that they really, and they can prove it, that they really were interfering with the United States electoral process.
Well, and how soon can they be reversed? They can be reversed by the president-elect when he comes in.
If there's sanctions?
Yes.
There are two things about this. One is it's woefully late. The time for a discussion and the showing of proof on this, I think, was October at the latest.
Right.
And so this seems really, really just kind of woebegone now. And the second thing is, it is not transparent enough. Glenn, no less a critic than Glenn Greenwald, who was the journalist who revealed Edward Snowden's leaks, has said there's no proof that we've seen. The CIA has made tons of mistakes before, and this has become a rallying cry for the other side that there's really nothing here. I think there probably is something there. You don't have 17 U.S. and overseas intelligence agencies agreeing on something without some proof. But why may we not see it?
Well, you know the answer, right?
I don't.
Mean, well, the answer clearly is that we have to show our hand, too.
Right.
When we do that, and that's exactly what they don't want to do. I mean, that's the real problem with this so-called democratic instinct that we have in this country. You know, I've said it 1,000 times, you can't have democracy if you don't have information. And in this case, if you have information, you show your hand. You may even disclose who some of your operatives are, and that gets very difficult.
It does you no good to have information that can be discounted as easily as this has been, both by the population and by Donald Trump, who has found it very easy to say, oh, hogwash. Maybe it's time to burn some operatives, bring them back, reassign them. It's time to do it.
But the thing is that you might burn your informants who are not exactly. U.S. citizens. That's the challenge. But I think I was interested in the interview that Senator Graham and Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, and Senator John McCain, Republican, gave from the Baltics yesterday to CNN, where they said that 99 out of 100 senators agree that the Russians were involved in this, right. and that he hopes to bring the president-elect along. And so I think that it's imperative that the Obama administration get as much of this on the record as possible, with the caveat that they obviously can't get it all on the record. And then hopefully the Senate Republicans will give some focus to this.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly we have to deal with the Russians, and the president-elect doesn't seem to want to deal with him in the way that the Senate Republicans or the Democrats do.
Which in itself raises a certain number of questions. But, Rosemary, I would come back to you respectfully and ask you if you have a choice between a Glenn Greenwald and the entire intelligence operation of the United States.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, you were citing him as the reason.
As saying he didn't have
right.
proof.
I am citing him yeah. as proof that it is widely agreed that we've not seen any proof. It's just one side. It's the liberals saying it was bad. I think this is important that the Senate says that, but again, it's only opinion. And I reject the idea that you have to burn operatives to say, based on, and give me some generalized form. We do this in newspapers all the time. You say, here's our information, where it comes from, and you disguise it in a way that protects your people.
Well, respectfully,
we've got none of that.
Well,
none
respectfully,
of it.
Rosemary, there's another side to this, and that is that there are people who have been shown some of the data, the people in the intelligence committees in the House. And when Teresa says 99 out of 100 or 90 out of 100, that means there's some information floating around there that we haven't seen.
Those have been briefed believe it's
yes.
true. Right. And
well, I was just going to say, the one thing that you had said of why haven't we seen it, why hasn't been more transparent, but it seems that it's also that we had an election at stake, right? I mean, there was a
correct.
Lot of...
Absolutely.
There
right.
was a lot
yeah.
of very tender
got to hear,
footing because they were concerned about what of not screwing up the
Well, we got to
election.
Hear that there might have been evidence about Hillary Clinton. The FBI had no problem with that, didn't worry about burning operatives, yada, yada. But this, much bigger problem, potentially, an attack on the integrity of the U.S. electoral system. We just have gotten just kind of really, I agree with the other side, vague rumors.
All right. Well, I think we've discussed that. I believe it's, you know, I have a different perspective than you do, but I respect yours, Rosemary, very much. You're just damn wrong.
Respectfully.
Very respectfully.
But
respectfully. Ever respectfully.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting on Russia. You know, the two questions here. First of all, Rosemary, why was not more attention paid to this before the election? Which I totally agree with you. And the Clinton campaign tried over and over and over. They tried to get the press to focus on it, and they
yep.
tried to get everybody to focus on it. So I think that's a story that will be told over time.
Yeah, and, both Hillary and definitely the press. I mean, there's all kinds of stories. They're talking about 750,000 uncounted votes in Michigan, actually collected. Legally cast votes that were thrown out for one reason or another. I saw stories about that after the election. There's lots of work to be done on the mechanics of our electoral system.
And what happened to this, why this story wasn't told, certainly was told but not emphasized more given the severity of the notion of the Russians hacking
yeah.
our elections. But two other questions this raises. The questioning of the intelligence community by the incoming president.
Right.
And why he repeatedly questions their
CIA.
Credibility mm-hmm. across the spectrum of the intelligence community and how that's going to work over time. And the other thing is that's just it's just confounding to me is his focus on Russia and the way he's focusing on Russia. There was an interesting article in Foreign Policy magazine about they got a hold of a memo focused on the State Department priorities for the
yep.
Trump administration, and I've said this, and Russia was not, even though defense officials say Russia is one of our top concerns, it wasn't on their list at all of top concerns.
Well, and, you all remember that Freud was alleged to have said there is no joke. And when there is no joke, nothing can be dismissed as just being a joke. When the future president of the United States comes along and he says, I hope that the Russians will hack our emails,
right.
Falls into
that's
the Freudian concept, doesn't it?
That's inviting treason, right?
I thought so at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that...
Where was the outrage?
None.
It was here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I meant...
With me.
Right.
That's where it was.
Had you ever heard anything like that before?
No, nothing like it. And, you know, it's one thing to throw red meat to the populi, but it's another to be a responsible person who is about to be president of the United States. And when you do that kind of thing, there are consequences, real consequences. I think the heroes are going to turn out to be McCain and Graham, of all people.
Right. Right.
Lindsey Graham is already talking about doing away with or cutting back on the UN. So I hold my. He goes off in many directions. I don't know what.
So does McCain.
He's just angry, and yeah, so is McCain. You're right about that. There's an analysis in the New York Times today I found fascinating, saying you could judge how people are going to vote by which of two television shows they watch.
Yes.
Modern Family is the choice of liberals,
or
and Duck Dynasty. And it's uncanny the dominance of one show over the other precisely corresponds with voting red or blue. So I go back to the lack of thinking that went into the votes cast in this election. Sorry, it's my elitist tendencies coming through again, but to not think through why did treasonous utterances by Trump not cause outrage? Because by then, Teresa, think about the many ridiculous and crazy things he had said. It was like part of his persona at that point. Right. Oh, that's just Trump being Trump. He was forgiven then.
But the notion is that he will change when he's becomes president, right? That's what people kept talking about.
The
but
pivot.
Now he's president-elect.
Yep.
And again, as a journalist, I'd interest you in your opinion. And the notion that words don't matter, that, I mean, he doesn't seem to either have an understanding or care about the weight of the words that president-elect or soon-to-be president utters. You saw it all this last week with his tweets.
It's all
I should
going
say
for
utter.
Effect. Just for but, effect. Outrage and people talking about him.
Well, but isn't that irresponsible in itself, Rosemary?
Of course.
It's
of
not
course
presidential
it
and it's not safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
What he did this week on nuclear weapons is just astounding
yeah.
to me.
It's very strange.
But I want to go back to the whole electoral process when he said the system was rigged before anything else happened. Right. That was as irresponsible as you could possibly have done. You were undermining the entire electoral system of the United States by saying that people had the ability to rig the election.
Well, let's go by. I want to go back to one thing you said, Alan, earlier, which
Please.
Was that Obama would look bad if he put in, you know, sanctions now that could be
right.
undone after January 20th. It is Trump, again, who is defying not law, but long-held tradition that we have one president at a time.
Right.
And it ain't his turn yet. And he interfered in nuclear, definitely. He interfered in the UN vote on Israel. He is endangering U.S. foreign... Oh, Taiwan is the other one.
Taiwan. Yeah.
He's endangering U.S. foreign policy, which is also another treasonous act, I would maintain.
I like the cut of your jib. I agree with you.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the meeting yesterday of President Obama and the Prime Minister of Japan, you
yep.
know, to in advance of that say what he said about nuclear weapons is just stunning.
Unbelievable.
It's just stunning. And that's a critical alliance for the U.S.
So all of you out
the
there
US-Japan
saying...
The U.S.-Japan alliance is critical. And to try to weaken that at a moment when there's an important... Yesterday was a very important moment of transition in U.S.-Japanese, you know,
history.
Relations.
Right.
And these kind of gestures matter. And to distort that with his comments about nuclear weapons is just
horrible.
Stunning.
And those of you out there saying, oh, we won, you lost, get over it. Listen to what we just said. These are the reasons we cannot get over it. We have not even had 1 minute to say, okay, it might work out. Through appointments, through actions like this that are just heedless of long tradition and safety and just thought is the reason that we're still harping on it.
We heard from Sean.
Yes.
Who wanted us to know again, capital letters, the continued ability of WAMC and the mainstream media to claim the leaks lost Clinton the election because of Russia, while still never acknowledging the truths that the leaks reveal is Kafkaesque. Well, as you all know, I'm a little bit of a student of Kafka. And as evidenced by the fact that everybody who's ever gone abroad has sent me a picture of Kafka's house. I can tell you, I think Kafka was warning about totalitarianism, and especially in the trial and other places. So the idea that what we're saying is Kafkaesque, no, I'll tell you who's Kafkaesque here. That is the incoming president. Okay, and then Cynthia says, how can we know Russians were involved in the election of Trump and go ahead with the inauguration? What do you got in mind, Cynthia? How can we know and go ahead with it? The only thing I can think of at this stage of the game is if it gets bad enough, an awful lot of people are going to get pots and pans and walk out on the streets, as in some of the Latin American democracies, and start banging on the pots and pans.
Well, clearly, you know, he's going to be the president of the United States, but this is a democracy, and so we all have the opportunity to speak and to raise questions and hopefully raise questions about some of the policies and slow them down or stop them.
And that is where my real fear is, Teresa. Mm-hmm. My real fear is that after this inauguration, civil liberties and other things that we have always assumed were part of the American experience will be wiped out. That's what I'm worried about.
I was thinking about that.
No, that's okay. We just have about, we're going to go to a break in about 20 seconds. So let me just remind people of how they can get in, and we'll go back to what you were saying. Panel at WAMC.org is how you can get in on your letter. We'll have more letters, and we'll talk about many more topics coming up. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, and I'm Joe Donahue. We will continue our conversation, and of course, go to your letters, panel at WAMC.org, after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. It's 9:35 on this Wednesday morning, the 28th of December, and it's very nice to have you with us. We're going to go to some letters, and then we'll move on to some other topics as well. Alan has a stack in his hands, so we'll go to those.
Good morning, says Daniel, morning. And kudos to Rosemary for objectively looking at the Russian scare. Pardon me. There's no proof. It is big rumors at this point. My mind would have changed with concrete evidence. And this also goes to other panel members suddenly worried about operatives being burned when there was no such concern concerning Hillary's emails and her lackadaisical security system that actually did not exist.
Okay. Yeah, I could do some corrections since I got the kudos. First, I think there is proof. I think they're not showing it to us for reasons enunciated by this panel, and that is an error. And number two, Hillary made the same sort of error. She made a conscious decision to not use State Department email. There were reasons for it. She has never told them to us. Instead, she did this whole, I'm sorry, I made a mistake thing that her advisors told it to. She should have just said, look, I thought at the time that this would work for the following reasons. It did not. It had consequences unintended, and I'm now paying a price for it. However, I never got hacked. My stuff did not get out. Classified information, we really ought to look at how we market. There are changes that are made. There are systematic changes, and I hope to lead you to do that. Had she said that, it would have just shut down the whole thing.
And is there a difference between Hillary Clinton's emails, as bad as somebody may say they are, and playing footsie with the Russians?
Of course there is. So, just not even on, and it was Spicer, the guy who's now going to be in charge of communications,
Sean Spicer,
for the White House. Yeah, that, good luck with that. Who conflated the two of them? Smart move. It has to do with fake news. We put all kinds of little pieces of information together that don't really fit together, but you mash them together like my granddaughter putting together a jigsaw puzzle, and it seems like, oh, it's Hillary's fault that we got hacked by the Russians.
And on the same vein, we hear from Mark. Who says?
Is that a Winnie?
Who
I agree with what you just said.
Thank you.
How is what the Russians did different from what we did for many years?
It's not different. It's the same thing, and we were wrong to do it. Why did we do it? To control a weaker country. That's why the Russians are doing to us. That very fact should make you more angry, not like say, oh, well, we all do it. That's just unacceptable.
Okay. And then we heard from Dick. Why HRC lost? Equals basket of deplorables.
Yeah, that was not a smart move, although she was certainly right about him.
But she apologized immediately. And on that note, did anybody read about the deplorable ball at the inauguration? They're planning it?
No.
And I read yesterday that some people are so deplorable that they're no longer being invited and are off the planning committee. So jeez. I don't know what you have to do.
What do you have to do to get off the... The president-elect has done many
really
deplorable
offensive.
Things. So what is it that's completely unacceptable?
But in any case, Secretary Clinton did say something about deplorables. She apologized for it, the next day, right? Almost immediately?
Which means, of course, she knew right away that she was caught and that it wasn't a good
thing.
And
she said she uttered...
And then there was this whole business of, I think Rosemary and Libby talked about it a little bit, about... Well, 50% as opposed to
that was the problem. She said half of his supporters belong in a basket of deplorables. Had she simply said some of these supporters, really none of us should be supporting at all. And she met white supremacists,
right?
And out and out bigots, the kind of people we're seeing now in our malls and stores, causing problems and uttering hate speech. She's right
Which
about
she
it.
Clarified
but
the
she
next
said
day
half.
Or within a day or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but
she
you
did.
See, I think
I
the fact that she felt compelled to clarify it means she really shouldn't.
I'm thinking as opposed. To Donald Trump, who never
doubles
apologized
down on his
for
well,
his
right, didn't apologize, and
That's
was part of a news cycle for 2 weeks of what he said on the bus with Billy Bush, and that had no effect.
Yeah, but I do think she does not. Her whole team, I blame Robbie Mook for it, just did not get the whole apology thing at all. I made a mistake on the email was just I didn't want to hear it again. I wanted to hear what she was thinking, why she messed up, and why she was sorry for it. That's all she had to do, I think.
So Joseph says, a fine morning to you, panel.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
I heard Alan on the media show and again today grousing about the Russian interference in our election. Is turnabout now suddenly not fair play?
That whole turnabout. We hacked other little countries that we're trying to control, and so now we should expect the Russians to do it and just sit
and
by.
That's okay.
Nuts.
The U.S. has been interfering and manipulating elections in other countries for years. Can we expect not to be toyed with? Should we be surprised that revenge is in the hearts of our enemies? What outrageous indignation is this, doctor? Well, wait a second. Should we not be surprised in the hearts of our enemies? So you would say, Joseph, that the Russians are our enemies? Is that what you're saying here? Because if it is, enemies are enemies. And for the chicken littles and the neurotic Nellies out there, ooh.
Oh, my God.
It is winter. Expect snow. Enjoy the fresh air. Have a lovely northeast winter day. Well, thank you, Joseph. And then thanks to George, who says, this may be more of a media project issue, but I'd like you not to convert the 99 senators into a fact. I saw Lindsay utter the phrase, and as far as I can tell, there's no objective data behind it. He, in my opinion, again, said that merely for emphasizing his opinion that the majority of the Senate was in agreement.
All right, let's go on to other topics and put those where they belong. Let's
yeah, in the file.
Yeah, in the file,
recycling.
Right.
Thank you for your letters.
Yes, we love
Thank
your
you,
letters.
Thank you, we love your letters.
Keep writing.
President-elect Donald Trump took to Twitter on Monday night, I know, I was shocked too, to defend the charitable foundation that he has pledged to close, saying the media had not given him enough credit for his generosity and ignoring the legal issues that have ensnared the organization in controversy. The Donald J. Trump Foundation has come under intense scrutiny this year after reports in the Washington Post detailing its practices, including cases in which Trump apparently used the charity's money to settle lawsuits involving his for-profit businesses.
You don't say.
New York's attorney general is investigating the charity, and a spokeswoman for that office on Saturday said that the foundation could not officially shut down until that probe is over. Among the issues at hand is whether Trump violated a self-dealing provision that says nonprofit leaders cannot use their charity funds to help themselves, their relatives, or their businesses. His tweet last night, "I gave millions of dollars to DJT Foundation, raised or received millions more, all of which is given to charity and media won't report!" Exclamation point, Trump said in one tweet on Monday night.
Media's reported quite extensively on it, actually.
Yeah, but not the
way he wants. Just not positively.
Correct.
But not the way he wants to. I mean, when you're settling lawsuits, personal lawsuits and other things, with foundation money, that is a no-no. And I don't know if any of you have ever had to fill out, as I do every year, we do here, a long list given to you by the IRS about your foundation and about
990s.
Your 990s. And there are a lot of little boxes you got to check, including, do you have a chauffeur? No, in my case. And then there are all these questions. One really has to look at the tax return. And, I forgot about that.
We're not allowed to see that.
Whatever happened to that tax return?
Well, it's interesting when he tweeted about his money, but in fact, a lot of it was Linda McMahon's money. And
$9.5 million.
We can wrestle with that one.
He did actually say, if you look at it, that he raised or received.
Right.
So we haven't given him credit for taking the money of other people and then giving them big, important government jobs for it.
His company, over 30 years, gave $6 million. And but Vince and Linda McMahon were the biggest outside donors of about $5 million.
And what's hard
of world wrestling fame?
Small
Business Administration
is heading the Wilt head the Small Business Administration.
After running the founding, she and her husband founded and run the World Wrestling Association, which they used the Atlantic City Trump Tower, I guess.
Right. He made some money off of that deal, too. Well, the worst one to me is Bondi giving the $250,000 political donation to the Attorney General of Florida, who then drops her potential suit against Trump University. She speaks at his convention, and she is also up to, I don't think she actually got one of his appointments. Charming.
She's on the transition team. The reasons we know all of this, I think we need to have kudos to the Washington Post and
David
Fahrenthold,
Pulitzer Prize,
who's done amazing work. And I think I was interested to read the Washington Post is hiring a whole slew of new
five dozen
reporters,
new reporters.
Yeah, which is interesting.
But this
notion of his giving and the one thing that he's addressing in all of his possible conflicts of interest. The one thing that he is deciding to close down is not the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. He wouldn't close that, but he should shift its ownership to somebody other than him or his family. But is the foundation the one place where he has legal trouble and it's not his money? I think that's fascinating.
So I just want to read this line from this article. Trump himself gave nothing to his foundation between 2009 and 2014, according to the filings. His business contributed in 2015 for the first time in several years. Experts on charities say it's rare for the founder of a private, name-branded foundation to give nothing to his own foundation while relying entirely on donations from others. That anomaly allowed Trump to take advantage of the idea that the money in the foundation was his.
And combine that, doesn't give to charity.
Right.
And brags about not paying his taxes.
Right. He's got grandchildren to support. And his sons like to go hunting. I mean, he's got a family to support.
$30,000 in that foundation money went for two large portraits of who?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. $30,000.
Did you say? I'm sorry, my hearing is not good, as you all know. Did you say portions or Porsches?
Portraits.
Portraits
of Donald Trump.
A third choice.
Paintings.
Yeah, get it.
Of Donald Trump.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to letters and continue our conversation. Alan and Teresa and Rosemary are here. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. sort of the merging of the stories here. We're listening to John Williams' music from Star Wars and Leia's theme. Of course, we lost Carrie Fisher yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Backing up to the story we were just talking about charitable giving and the foundation, one of the lines in this article is that filmmaker George Lucas is tied with Trump at 324th place on Forbes' list of the world's billionaires. He donated $925 million to his family foundation in 2012. In 2014, Lucas's foundation gave $55 million in donations to museums, hospitals, artistic groups, and environmental charities. While much of Trump's foundation money has gone to charity, there are some high-profile exceptions, which we had talked about.
Joe, do you know what number Trump is on that list of the world's billionaires?
324.
Trump?
Yeah, 324.
Yeah, he's tied with Lucas at 324.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
Yeah, that's why they were looking.
But of course,
we
don't really know what Trump's worth is, right?
Right.
There have been all kinds of speculation about, you know, how much he has. He said he had $10 billion. Then there was doubt cast on that, so we don't really know.
But anyway, you look at it; it's a lot
six
of money,
million,
right?
6 million over how many years? 30 years.
Thirty years.
And $925 million in 1 year.
Let's go to some letters.
Oh, sure, Joe. Thank you. Arthur says, never heard of a show, The Modern Family. Then, again, I registered Green in 96 and cut the cable in 01. However, you folks are greatly appreciated, especially since Rich isn't a Republican. And that's from Arthur.
So I'm reading into this. Does that mean that you've heard of Duck Dynasty, but you haven't heard of Modern Family? Because
yeah.
They're both on cable.
Yeah.
Well,
one's on broadcast.
I guess he's saying he's a liberal, but he doesn't know Modern Family.
I got severely criticized yesterday for not knowing a contemporary movie star.
George Michael.
Music star. Yeah, I got severely criticized.
Was that really severely criticized?
Yeah. And
okay.
We laughed at you, I thought.
Well, that's
we just
severe
laughed
criticism.
At you lightly.
And you brought me up to the bar of justice. Okay.
So I would not reach that bar myself. So.
Jeff,
but I have heard of Duck. I have heard of Duck Dynasty.
Intelligent people, you got to stretch. You got to try these things.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Why I watched the Kardashians. I wanted to know what everybody was talking
about.
Well,
I can't go that far.
Let's be serious. Time is precious. Time is precious.
I was a little ticked off last night during the honors, the Kennedy honors, when they put JT sort of in the middle and had the Eagles last. Because I think JT is more important than the Eagles. And besides, he doesn't fight with his band. So, therefore, you know, I thought it was wrong. But
I can give you a technical reason why they probably did that.
Okay, good.
Which is that it was the last thing that they had to set up, and then they wouldn't have had to tear down an elaborate rock set to go to another
rock
right.
Singer who is alone on stage.
Right.
Anything is possible.
Right.
Okay.
That's all. But if I were you, I would still consider it a slight.
But he got a Kennedy Honors, and
that's
he deserved
right.
it, and he's extraordinary.
Well, that whole group was great. It was a great group. So.
No, I wanted to ask you a question, because you know about these things, Joe.
I hope so.
You know about these things, and that is, I have tried, after each of the Kennedy Honors, to see it again, or to see it for the first time when I'm asleep, and I can't. Do they have... Is there a rule that they don't play it a second time?
I do
or you
believe.
Can't access
can't you see it on C-SPAN?
I think you can see it. I will check on that for you, Alan. I know that CBS owns it, but I also know that if you go to the Kennedy Center website, they will show you each inductee and their induction. Like that's part of their their archive. So I think you can do that. It may not be like the whole show, but if you want to say, "Oh, I want to see George Burns' induction,"
but
then
you
can go see that.
But what if you want to see the whole show?
Don't that's what it? I have to find out.
Okay, no, that's okay.
I love homework. I'll figure it out.
All right, here. You do love homework. Homework was the terror of my life. I hated homework. Came back from Fire Island for the weekend, and we had to discuss whether or not we were going to watch Maverick or do our homework.
All these years later, and you're not over it.
I didn't say
I bet I'm not.
I didn't say I was good at homework. I just said...
So your homework.
Okay, here. Read the good morning, panel. So I understand all the outrage, but what are you prepared to do about it? Okay, I understand everyone is upset, But give us your solutions. I've been giving you my solutions all along. I've been saying, grab your pots and pans, go on the marches, write your representatives, do everything in your power that you can do. That's
and
what
donate I donate to organizations that work at this full time.
Which, by the way, subscribe is to turning media. Out to be really something spectacular. Right. I know WAMC is getting more money than we have seen. We're not drowning in it, but we are getting a lot of people who say, you're what stands between us and, you know, other things.
I just sent you a link, Alan.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, there you
that's
go.
That's a great joke.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe some listeners would like to know that, too.
Say the same
if
thing,
you go to CBS.com, you can watch it.
Okay, cool. And,
yeah. Good morning, panel. So I understand. Okay, what are you prepared to do about it? I just told you.
Contact your elected representatives.
Yeah, I think we'll bitch and moan a little, too, right?
Yeah.
Read.
Happily.
Dearest panel, says John, maybe worth pointing out and clarifying that Hillary Clinton's emails were never hacked, per se. They were instead subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee. Absent that witch hunt, the hacked DNC and Podesta emails may have had less effect on the election.
Correct.
Timothy, get specific. Do you mean WikiLeaks? William Binney? Formerly of NSA, says NSA leaked. What are you talking about? Get someone sensible on your panel. That's from Timothy.
Seems like a cheap shot, but all right.
All right.
Thank you for your letter.
We love your letters. We love them.
Love your letters. Keep
Mike
them coming.
Says, do you really think Hillary didn't know that an email is marked classified? Speaking of deplorable, remember that the black church burned with Trump written on it, done by a black man who was caught? All those false flag events are adding up.
I have no idea how one is connected to the other, but I wasn't referring to emails marked classified. I was referring to materials that she committed to email that were not in their original form clearly marked classified. And that's come out really in the FBI investigation.
Not to excuse Hillary totally on deplorables matter, but has anyone ever considered that she was suffering from pneumonia at the time? And that's from Greg Pod Park.
No.
I don't think pneumonia makes you say things you shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think in a campaign, people get tired, they make mistakes, they say things, and then they have to go back. I think the difference is that she immediately apologized within a day or so, unlike the president-elect. And the bigger issue is that words matter. And those words had consequences for her, but think of all the words that didn't have consequences.
Well, that's it. But that's not
false equivalency.
She misstated one thing and apologized for it.
That's right. I mean, we can rake that through the coals, but then think of all of the things that were said on the other side. This is remarkable.
It was a terrible thing to say in terms of how it fed into the narrative that the elite was running against the lower classes. And that's why it was so devastating to her in ways that grab her by the genitals and all that didn't really offend people as much.
What he said about Mexicans, Gold Star parents, I mean,
wasn't
the
half
difference.
Of the supporters.
It never stopped.
Thing that I worry about now, you know, because he is the president-elect going forward, is that beginning January 20th, the consequences of his words become all the more powerful, and they're more powerful now. And I just, you know.
But let me also say that people give him the benefit of the doubt when the press parses every word he says. Let's go back to the Gold Star mother. He never said Gold Star mothers are jerks. He said one Muslim woman who didn't speak on TV might have been forced by her religion not to speak. That's a view that a lot of people who voted for him actually have. And it was never an insult against the Gold Star mother. I think that was in the minds of liberals and Democrats, it was much worse than it was in the minds of people listening to him. And a lot of his things were like that. When he said, I hope the Russians get the emails that Hillary, you know, is allowed to go out. People, that was not treasonous in the minds of many people who listened to him. We do this all the time in the press. Trent Locke fell into trouble with that when he went to a birthday party for Strom Thurmond and said something that, if we had just gone along with you 48 years ago, i.e. segregate,
we wouldn't have this trouble.
It was terrible.
I thought that was terrible.
But he was not calling for a return to segregation, which is
how
the press portrayed
it. Well, it's a matter of interpretation.
It.
He should have kept his mouth shut. It was a stupid thing
Correct.
To say.
It was I stupid. Said, but stupid things are different than treasonous, a campaign-ending comments. And the people realize that, and the press is to blame for this.
So how come you then put so much weight on the Hillary Clinton's deplorable comment?
As I say, because I think what she did with that was play exactly into the idea that Trump was promoting throughout his campaign, that it's us versus them, that elite Washington, think for themselves, Wall Street, of which he's part of it. But he managed to distance himself in his narrative. And then she goes, yeah, half of those guys are deplorable. It just fed right into it.
Okay, so John said there's no way that Justin Timberlake is more important than Eagles exclamation. I need an interpretation.
Justin Timberlake was part of the Kennedy Center Honors.
Right.
System, yes.
Right. So
he must have been.
Oh, no. You know what they're saying? You were saying JT.
Yeah.
And they were saying that it was
James Taylor.
Not James Taylor.
Not Justin Timberlake.
They were thinking it was who also is referred to as JT.
Well,
okay, just for clarity, you know, when Justin I was saying Timberlake he's terrific, I meant James Taylor.
Yeah, of course I do. He's a modern sort of pop star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
But you and I were praising James Taylor, correct?
We were, indeed.
Yes.
One of the greatest human beings who ever walked the earth. Not just
Justin Timberlake has not received a Kennedy Center honor yet.
No.
So
he
was pretty good
in a couple movies, though.
Absolutely.
And he seems like a nice person from afar.
He's a good musical career. Yeah.
Good morning, panel. Our nation is proceeding like an automaton towards the inauguration, despite evidence that a Trump presidency will be as disastrous as possibly even destroy the planet. For a literary perspective on mindless obedience to tradition, read Shirley Jackson's short story, The Lottery.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I think he is not mindlessly relying on tradition. He's the one who started to undermine all of the elections in the United States by saying, you know, the terrible things about them being rigged.
We are. Are you ready for? Are you ready to do the news? Ray's ready to do the news.
Ray's ready to hop into this conversation.
We're gonna take a break and stand by for news. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Teresa Bourgeois, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We're going to start off with some of those letters right now, and then we'll move on to some other topics. We have some other things to talk about, so we'll get the letters out of the way first.
Anything you say, Joe. Dan, there is this vague rumor that Rosemary was ever a Hillary supporter. I'm not buying into it. What?
I'm saying anti-Hillary things.
I have heard no evidence that supports this rumor. In fact, to the contrary, Rosemary is super critical of Hillary while giving Trump a pass over and over again.
Well, that's not true
because I've been sitting here all this time, and Rosemary and Libby were described almost daily by people who listen to this program as unquestioning Hillary followers. But Rosemary has always tried to point out where mistakes have been made on Hillary's part, and she always has. Eileen says, perhaps you can have covered this, but talk of the use of powerful marketing. Can anyone tell us the outcome of the Trump University suit? I think he had to give $25 million.
He settled it. Yeah, threw money at the problem.
Wasn't a lot. Did every student receive their money back?
We don't know.
Was there only a fine? Yes. How little have we heard about this travesty of justice, and how skillful the timing to keep it a non-story? I would imagine that the same will happen in the latest Trump Foundation charge. Possible?
Yeah, I think they paid a fine on the Florida donation. And but that's why they,
that's the foundation you're talking
on the
about.
Foundation, yeah. So that's one of the other.
You know, the Trump University thing was a civil suit, and it was never criminal. And the judge, it became controversial because Trump, you know, just defamed the judge in the case and said he was unfit to handle his case because he was a Mexican. But the settlement is pretty routine. It's the way those cases are actually handled. I understand there's another suit involving it. Maybe some listeners know about it. The foundation is still under investigation by New York State.
By the Attorney General, who is really gutsy.
And he Correct. Said yesterday that Trump cannot shut down the
Right.
foundation
while he's under investigation. But it also is not a criminal case. It's going to be, at worst, if it goes against him, a fine.
Right. Okay.
And then the one case that Trump hasn't settled, which I think is interesting, is the chef who from the new Trump Hotel in Washington,
yes,
D.C.
Yes, that's a good one.
Who said
and,
what?
He got out of the contract after Trump defamed, or he says Trump defamed Mexicans and whoever else. I'm not sure which group that he was most concerned about Trump defaming. But in any case, that as of now is still he's going to be deposed on that, and it's moving along. Trump has not settled that one. I don't know why.
Janet says someone on the panel can introduce Alan to the DVR. I recorded the Kennedy Center Honors last night and plan to watch it in its entirety sometime this weekend. Just another option. Well, thank you, Janet. That's very nice of you.
Very thoughtful.
None. Good morning, panel. Methinks we should suspend the idea that anyone can analyze Mr. Trump's actions. Perhaps a better frame would be to understand the media's role to document this his behavior until the pathology of the sociopath becomes unavoidable and actions can then be taken.
Well, I think that's the Washington Post hiring all those new journalists.
You say them, we read them. Stephanie says, I work for a small nonprofit that scrapes and begs to provide amazing programming for highly at-risk youth. There's an amazing staff of dedicated, undercompensated, if compensated at all, people who conduct themselves with the utmost of ethics. We do a lot with very little. So to hear about D. Trump, a very wealthy man, conducting highly illegal activities with his own non-for-profit, getting away with and even becoming president makes me nauseous in capital letters. I truly hope that the new year that man gets justice. And then says, and Jim says, it's amazing to me that the trickle-down folks only trickle down to one another. They all make me sick. Trump Foundation indeed. And then Naomi says, the president-elect is a master of passive-aggressive behavior, rhetoric, and speech. Be well, do good works, keep in touch. And then there was one which we have not gotten any yet, but I thought I would read it. The one about the trolls. Remember that one, Joe?
Somebody said that we were perhaps being trolled.
Yeah, we were being trolled. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay, so go ahead, Joe. Carry on.
Okay, let's talk about some other stuff and talk about I'm going to move away from...
politics?
Yeah, we'll move away from politics for just as... Well, I don't know.
We'll come back to healthcare at some point.
Does anybody want to talk?
That's all I want to talk about.
Does anybody want to talk about what?
You're being lobbied.
Well, I know.
No, you want to talk about Carrie Fisher.
Well, no, I wanted to either talk about Chris Christie or.
I love the Chris Christie story.
Okay, yeah, it's a good story.
All right, let's do that story.
Let's do that.
It was that or the story on the
California?
Clinton endorsement that went bad.
Oh, the Oklahoma newspaper.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, let's go to Chris Christie.
Okay, all right.
And then back to Oklahoma.
Okay, there we go.
We could do a one-liner about Oklahoma. So there's this paper in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
And they endorse Clinton, and now they're being besieged by all of the people who are canceling their... And it was in the news. What was interesting about this is it became the New York Times front page, I believe. So now there's this huge blowback against the paper, and they may not make it.
Well, that's what courage is all about. They took a stand, and now they're going to pay a small price for it. History shows that when these kind of campaigns don't last for long. However, this is a new media era, so it might be the end of the paper. But what would be the value of remaining in business if all you did was write what people you know, think they want to hear rather than what you think should be written. Why have a newspaper at all?
What is it? Enid,
Enid,
Enid, Oklahoma. So if you want to read about Enid, Oklahoma, maybe subscribe.
Maybe we should
to
all get
paper.
Subscriptions to that paper. Right. That might be an
Enid,
interesting.
Enid, Oklahoma. Sorry, okay. Alan, I interrupted you.
Yeah.
All right, here's the letter that.
Here's I have it right here. Okay. So Sarah LaDuke just delivered this to us. Dear panel, sounds like there are some people trolling WAMC's panel. A stream of negative commentary. Is that possible? I enjoy a good argument, but notice it's a bit personal. In other words, get some sensible people, continue to fight back with facts, folks. Plus, I'm sick of hearing about why Hillary lost. Dark money prepared the ground. Read Jane Mayer.
Yes, Jane Mayer's book, Dark
That
Money.
Is possible. I hadn't considered trolls, but the letters have gotten incredibly
it. Yeah, look, yeah, there, we personal. Have three or four. People who write these letters every single day. And I believe that's the definition of trolling. So in other words, sometimes they write and say, okay, but I'll never give WMC another dime, even though they're trolling and listening every day. Hi, this is not in any way whatsoever imply that anything at all about what is going to be inaugurated soon is okay. But you need to get past the fact that Clinton is not going to be president. We know that. We know that. If the Democrats had fielded anything remotely like a decent candidate, we would not be in the crisis we find ourselves in. And it is a serious crisis. Plans on direct action need to be made, a general strike, a boycott, or boycott something. Thank you for continued practice of freedom of speech and press. And that's from Blair of Greenville. Thank you.
Chris Christie, we go to New Jersey and talk about the governor of New Jersey, who, of course, for the past year has been working, started 2016 as a candidate for president and was unsuccessful in that bid, then was one of the first to endorse Donald Trump, and then was at his right hand throughout the campaign. Now his job approval is at a career low. Nearly three-quarters of New Jersey voters and half of his fellow Republicans said in a recent poll that he should have been a defendant in the trial over Bridgegate, in which two former aides were convicted last month. And in a stinging turnabout, his campaign manager, whom Mr. Christie dismissed in the so-called Bridgegate scandal, is expected to become Donald Trump's White House political director, while Mr. Christie was fired as transition chief and shut out of all jobs in Mr. Trump's administration, despite having been one of his earliest big-name supporters. As the New York Times says, welcome home, governor.
Well, now he is really in one of the races for his of his life here, because he is going for the all-time record of the lowest possible public opinion polling in history. Although there are other examples of Republican governors in the past who had very low.
There's only one lower than him right now.
But who won?
One
no,
point.
But who won eventually? Yes. In second term. So when you hit the bottom, that doesn't mean you can't pick yourself
rise
up dust
again.
Yourself off.
Yeah.
And start all over
rise
again.
Again.
Right.
I think the vengeful nature of his actions since he came back to New Jersey are interesting. He's gone after newspapers, and he's been rebuffed so far, but he says he's not going to forget about this in his few remaining days. He wants to end a state requirement that, right, illegal ads have to be printed in newspapers.
That's an old one, by the way. People have been doing that for years.
Yep.
The mayor of Albany did it, and took the requirement for legal advertising away from the Times Union, and I think the Nick News at the time, and gave it to the Jewish and Catholic newspapers in Albany.
So he's done that. He's made several other attempts at legislation that have been really just turned aside. And it's striking because this is a man who had remarkable power over Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, and now they're ignoring him. He must be sitting there wondering how everything went so downhill. He was such a star at just a year ago, and
it's
now it's all turned around.
It's all the bridge. The
karma.
The bridge is what did him in.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at that particular, I assume one of the options he has is just not running again, right? Of just saying,
well,
okay,
I think there's
I don't
a limit.
Believe he's
there's
allowed
a limit.
To.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, as yeah, term right. So he's
right.
done, right?
Yeah, he's done.
He's
done.
Done.
One way.
Okay, so we have about 6 minutes left. What would you like to say about health care?
Our policy wonk.
Policy wonk alert. No, yes. I'm so concerned that the Republicans, starting January 3rd, are going to begin the process of ending the Affordable Care Act. And what I'm reading now that their plan is to repeal, and they don't yet have anything to replace it with. So they'll repeal and say, we're going to replace it in 2 or 3 years. But then they believe it will, they don't want to have to vote on a bill because their bill, the public won't be able to, won't tolerate. And so they're hoping it just caves in on itself.
And that is, and added to that is the war on Medicaid.
Right.
Now, you will remember that Trump said black people should vote for me because, you know, what are the choices? In other words, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Okay. So now, where is he going to go? He is going to be death on Medicaid, not Medicare, which has a substantial voting middle class group. He'll try to do what they always try to do with it, say, give it to our friends at Goldman Sachs or other places, and that's the way we'll allow that to happen. But he will go after Medicaid, which is for poor and older people, Americans, and right. That is disgusting.
And you know, 20 million more people have health insurance due to the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
And so does he care?
I just don't understand the politics of this, because even the American Medical Association now is, they came out and endorsed Congressman Price, who was the appointee, yet their membership is now rebelling against that nomination because they say that the consequences of his proposals to for health care will be devastating for hospitals and for doctors.
That's been going on for years. I mean, remember the guy who used to run the AMA, I think it was Morris Fishbein, I believe was the guy's name. And, you know, there were always substantial numbers of people, young doctors and others, who really cared. But he was a terror, right. And they didn't get anywhere. So this kind of thing, and I've gone to many doctors lately who have been saying over the years, who've been saying how terrible the federal government is. They don't give them enough money. They don't pay them enough. And I hear it all the time. And one guy
worse.
Was supposed to work on my back down in New York City. Had his assistant call me and say he was no longer taking Medicare. Right. So there is a sort of we deserve more ethos among many of the doctors.
But if people are asking, you know, what can they do, I think now is the time to talk about health care. And I saw Senator Chris Murphy.
Yeah.
He held some forums in Connecticut in the last week. Giving people an opportunity to talk about how the Affordable Care Act had helped them.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
We've had him on our air a lot.
So now is the time to talk. Also, I was interested to see, did you see that Tom Price, they found out that he has been buying $300,000 in dealing in health care stocks the same time he's been chair of the House committee that oversees health care. And so we'll see how
conflict of interest.
How that's going to go. In any case.
Oh, that.
Yeah, so now, that. Now is the time to talk about health care. If you want something to do, let your elected officials know if you benefited from it. Okay, I'm done. Thanks.
All right.
You were done too soon. You were done too soon.
No, we're fine. And our final thing is Carrie Fisher.
Okay. Yeah.
Carrie Fisher died at the age of 60. Of course, she suffered over the holidays a massive heart attack on a flight from London to Los Angeles. She was about 15 minutes away from landing when she suffered the coronary event, has been in intensive care since, and passed away early yesterday morning. And, of course, was the child of Hollywood royalty, Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, and... of course, royalty in her own right as Princess Leia in the Star Wars franchise.
I always liked Eddie Fisher, except that he never came around, according to the stories I've been reading. His number one tune of all times was?
Oh, My Papa.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He was a terrible father, and Carrie Fisher talked about that in many memoirs. She was also a really gifted writer.
Wonderful writer.
Yeah, Joe and I have been talking about
You never had her on,
Joe? Last one.
We did. I had her. I met her, I can't find the interview.
Yeah,
so that's bad. But yeah, I had her on in the early '90s. She had a book called Surrender the Pink, And we had her. We had her on for that. She was great.
And she predicted accurately that Princess Leia would be the first line of her obituary, which it was. And instead, what she wanted to be remembered for was that she wanted to go out drowning in moonlight and strangling on her bra, which was a reference to a George Lucas line. She didn't like George Lucas, right? No, she did not. And the famous white gown that she wore as Princess Leia, he said, no, no, you can't wear a bra with that. She goes, why? And the answer was, well, because there are no bras, there's no underwear in space, which he pronounced, you know, completely flat and as if it were fat.
Yes.
This comes from one of her many writings, at theater and books on her life. She's very, very gifted.
We were talking about television earlier, but if you have a chance to watch the special Wishful Drinking, which is based on a book that she wrote,
right.
Or the book was actually based on the show, but it is an hour and a half of just pure delight of her telling stories about her. There's one where she just takes down a board and there's about 50 pictures, and it includes all of the people that her parents were involved with, and it's quite the...
Yeah.
It was a very complicated life, let's say. All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much, and we'll be back after this with more show.